Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
It's Kyle O'Reilly.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
I'm Rocky Asuka Romero.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk, home of Lou Gowen.
Support WrestleTalk.
Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Lou Gowen is, quote the Raven, nevermore.
Support WrestleTalk, do it. Bro.
But you really should support WrestleTalk and you should follow them and subscribe right now.
Ollie told me to say this, so I guess it's okay.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Make sure you watch and listen to WrestleTalk.
Or better yet, take just a moment, stop what you're doing, and bask in their glory.
Do us all a favor and subscribe.
Congratulations, you got here. Now subscribe and support. Thanks.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, SWAF Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm doing well. I really enjoyed our movie date last night.
It was fun, wasn't it,
mate?
It was nice.
Luke and I went to see Ad Astra yesterday, the new Brad Pitt film, and we'll have a review of it tomorrow on Screen Stalker. So I know you're podcast peeps, but go over to Screen Stalker and watch us chat about the movie there.
Yeah.
There's a spoiler-free section at the start, and then it's spoiler-full afterwards, so you can click off the video before we start revealing bits.
Yes.
And yeah, it's nice chatting movies.
It was fun, man. Mm. We got the tube together. We had a nice little chat on the way over. Uh-huh. Then had a couple of beers in the screening as well.
They only gave us one, but we asked for two each.
And they gave it to us. They were very nice.
I think we could have got four each.
Did you have a look in the gift bag?
So there was a big bag of popcorn.
Big old bag of popcorn.
And a canned bottle of water. A can of water.
Right. So I didn't open up the bag. When you go to press screenings, you often get given little gift bags that are filled with little treats and stuff to try and keep you sweet so that you might give them a good review at the end of it. It sometimes works. And I just, after the film finished, I just started putting the stuff into the bags and then I took the whole bag home. So I put in the popcorn, I put in the little Mars Bites.
Mars Bites?
Yeah, did you not see those?
I didn't get Mars Bites.
I got a little chocolate, like a sort of big bag of like mini Mars bars in there. Oh, me and my wife are going to have those when we get in for our dinner date tonight.
Mm.
And what I assumed was a can of Coke.
I also assumed
because
that.
Because you had said, oh, there's a can of Coke in here. And I made the League of Gentlemen joke, I can't.
Because you see a silver can and a 330 milliliter size, you just assume it's a can of Coke.
Right, absolutely. Other carbonated drinks are available. But I then got at home and I said to my wife, I was like, look at all these gifts I got. Big bag of popcorn, Mars Bites, and a can of water. Still water as well.
Yeah, I just assumed, it's probably ghastly fizzy water. Oh, I hate fizzy water.
Do you know what's what my wife prefers?
Ugh.
She will actually go out of her way to buy sparkling water over still water.
Obviously, I like your wife, but sometimes I don't. When you when you tell me stuff like that, I hope she listens to this.
She does.
It's still water. I was so disgusted when I got home with it. I was like, I'm throwing it away.
Well,
and my lady partner said, hey, I never know when I'm going to need water. I was like, there's a tap. Why do we need to have this waste of fridge space?
Well, I said, what an odd thing to give someone. What an odd thing to even mass produce.
Mm.
And then my wife made the point, it's like, well, it's better than a plastic bottle of water.
Well, that's it. I was also schooled environmentally.
And I was like, do you know what? You're absolutely right. I did not see that side of it. But yeah, it just still, it took me very much by surprise, this can of water, still water.
How much better?
I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
Yeah.
I honestly don't want to do it because if I want to drink at home, I'm just going to go to the tap. And I'm not going to bring it with me to work. There's a tap here.
It's going to be weird opening that can and not hearing it as well.
Oh, yes, because it's still. But there were so many cans that were going in the screening last night. Did you hear that? I heard it like, you know, 30, 40 times over. And it made me think, oh, it's definitely a can of Coke then. It's definitely a can I can't.
Yeah. And it shows how absorbed you were by the movie.
But I was also, actually, I got a bit sidetracked while watching the movie because it's my first time going into the Odeon in Leicester Square since they've done...
They sound like such big wigs.
I know, right? Since they've done the big refurb on it. Because when I used to go to press screenings there, it was a bit of a dump.
It was horrible.
It was falling apart.
Yeah.
But now... It's very plush and it's very lovely and it's like a big auditorium space.
Yeah, so that if you've ever seen a Leicester Square premiere of a film where they get all the celebrities, that this is where they have the screenings usually because it's the biggest, most high-profile one. But up until 2 years ago, it was a total crap.
It was really, really nasty.
So when all those people were going up, like in there, they'd then walk through this fancy red carpet onto a foyer of chewing gum stains.
Yeah.
And tattered walls and
gross. But I did think, because it's now like this big auditorium, and it reminded me of the way the Empire used to be before they did their big refurb and turned it to an IMAX, which made me think that's where Fright Fest should be from now on. I know they've clearly got some sort of deal and they like being in the Empire, but putting it into the Odeon makes so much more sense to me because you can get everyone into the same screen.
Yeah, because it's got the two tiers of seating. That's what you mean, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, which is what the Empire used to have. Before they turned into the IMAX. But now what Fright Fest have got is they've got a much smaller IMAX screen, like in terms of seating, might be also a much bigger screen. But the seating plan is much shorter, is much smaller than what the Empire used to be because the screen 2, which is upstairs, is now its own cinema screen. So they just split it across the two things. So a film will start at 11, but then in screen 2 will start at 10 past, which isn't too bad. But when you have directors and writers doing Q&As, they will do a Q&A, then 10 minutes later go and have to do the exact same introduction. And you often get these sort of really awkward experiences. When they did Hatchet 3, I think it was Hatchet 3, maybe Hatchet 4. I think it was Hatchet 4, actually.
I lose track of all the Hatchet movies. I'm sure everyone does.
But Adam Green was there to do the intro. And screen 1 is like, that's the screen to be in if you're going to Fright Fest. That's where all the hardcore guys and girls go. But if you're press like me, you get into screen 2, which is not quite as good. Mm-hmm. And he then came
in... The freeloaders.
Well, yeah, because we're big freeloaders. But there's also people who pay for it as well. And he came into screen 2. Like, honestly, with this... I mean, you know, he got the big sort of, like, you know, clapping and your sort of ovation and stuff. And he was like, man, I just got the biggest standing ovation I've ever had in my life in screen 1. That, honestly, I'm never going to be able to, like... That's a moment that will stay with me forever. To this, like, group of people that are just, like, essentially going, like, and you guys just aren't as good.
Wow. He probably was just saying, I'm shell-shocked from that experience.
That's exactly what it was. It was a genuine, like, moment of being like, that's, honestly, God, I'm going to be thinking about that for years and years to come. But then it made us all go, like, oh, we need to stand up. Like,
we all just stand up.
And he goes, like, well, don't try and do it now. Now that I've told you to do it. Which just made it even more awkward.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought the Odeon was lovely. But if you want to hear our thoughts on the film, which are probably more interesting, head on over to ScreenStalker tomorrow because that is where you will find them.
Oh, yeah. Back to the movie chatting days.
Back to them. Oh, missed them, mate. But let's talk about some wrestling instead because a WWE star attacked a fan. It was Rowan. It was a plant. But, you know, that's the title we've gone with. It was Pete.
It was a Pete in the crowd.
Here's the show.
We have opened with the WWE star attacks a fan discussion point because a lot of stuff happened on this show. A lot of it I'm not a fan of, but I was a fan of this.
We're going to open with the power of positivity.
Oh, yes. I thought this was an excellent go-home segment.
Wonderful.
So Eric Young.
Or if only.
Eric Rowan, with a K, comes out and he starts talking about, everybody just thought I followed people, that I'm a sheep, that I just, you know, I follow Bray Wyatt, I follow Daniel Bryan, but really I'm the manipulator. I'm a genius. And I'm going, mate, you pulled over some scaffolding. This is hardly a genius plan.
And he waited to try and hit a car with another car.
How's that a genius plan?
They didn't see it coming.
I just don't get like what is manipulative about that.
Dude, he laid down this plan and he got away with it for so long, despite the fact they had actual evidence from the get-go that it was him. They just never bothered to look.
Yeah, look,
he is a genius.
Maybe. I'm saying this is Rowan's character is kind of undermined by the ridiculousness of the story. So I'm choosing to interpret his character as someone who thinks he's a genius, but he's actually a very reckless, impulsive madman.
I don't want to like pop your balloon of positivity, but the commentators were also putting over that he's a master manipulator.
Yeah, well, which doesn't work. I'm actually quite interested. I think it's an interesting, complex character to have the big monster who thinks he's a genius, but actually, no, he's a bit of a psychopath and he makes a lot of sloppy mistakes, but he's so big and powerful, he can get around that. Whatever. And it's been like Vince McMahon's dream for Rowan forever. Vince has a few characters that he will force upon anyone, regardless of whether they fit them or not. Emelina, for instance. He wants a hot, blonde, attitude-era, sexually exploitative character. And he's tried to put it on Lana, Mandy Rose, Emma, and it's just not working because that's not where society is these days.
But, you know, Scarlett Bordeaux's had her tryout now.
Who?
Scarlett Bordeaux.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, she's owning it. That's different.
Well, it is very different. But Vince won't see that, though. He won't see the irony of it all and will just be like, oh, finally, someone else gets it.
Women are horny again. But the other one he's got is the big guy who actually reads books. And honestly, yeah. There's always a character lurking.
Yeah.
Like Mike Knox was one of them back in the day.
Ryback was one of them.
Yeah. He's not just a muscly guy. He's got muscles. And we can delve into Vince McMahon's psyche of why he thinks that's an important thing to get across. I think it's a lot more interesting if Rowan thinks he's smart, thinks he's this master manipulator, but he isn't. Not in a comedic way, in an even more unhinged, psychotic way.
Another character that Vince likes to force upon people, Family Man.
That's very popular at the moment.
Yeah, Big Show, he even gave that to Big Show. Like, when Big Show joined the company in 1999, we're like, I know how to push a giant. He's a Family Man.
So, we have Rowan cutting this promo, and awesomely, like, Roman Reigns is such a good baby face when I like him. You know, okay. Maybe he was always this good, but I didn't like him back then.
Yeah, man, I've always thought he was this good. Yeah. He was just pushed into terrible storylines.
It's like Baron Corbin. Now he's been pushed at the right level and he's got the favor on his side. It works a lot more. So Roman comes down really pissed off because last week Rowan sort of, you know, revealed he was the attacker. And that was the big turn.
Yep.
Expose.
He showed up to Raw yesterday, calmed his nerves down. And was like, I've got to do this for the kids. They take the kids out there. Kids are awesome. That's now out of the way. Now it's back to the big dog taking back his gosh darn yard.
No, Roman has his priorities. He's going to kick cancer's ass first. Then he's going to come after Big Red.
Oh, maybe.
And yeah, Roman just comes down there and they have an excellent
brawl. Oh, it's really, really fun.
Really, really good. Really chaotic. You know, because so many brawls and around the ring things are quite formulaic in WWE. Remember last year, they had pull-apart brawls every other week.
Yeah.
First few were amazing. And then it's like, this one kept surprising me. Just when you thought it was over,
yep.
They did something that I can't really remember seeing before, and I got back into it again.
Yes, they brawled round the fans sort of on the floor seats, and I was like, oh, this is really fun, actually. This is a good, like, Attitude Era-esque brawl. And then they kind of fall over the barricade, and Roman gets back up, and I think he gives him a Superman punch, but then security start pulling him back. And so what does Big Red Rowan do? He picks up Chopper Pete Quenelle and power bombs him. And like, it was so funny because I saw the guy there and my first thought was, is that Enzo?
Wow, because it was Madison Square Garden.
Right? And I was like, it's Enzo in the front row. And then he just picks up this little lad, does a big pop-up powerbomb thing and just launches him into it. And I was like, well, this is brilliant. I'm well into this.
It would be brilliant if it was Enzo and it was just an improvised spot.
Yeah.
Can we have the camera on Chopper Pete, actually? Because what do you think about literally everyone comparing you to that guy?
Oh yeah, it's super fun. My Twitter this morning was full of it. I went on and I was like, oh, I've got so many notifications. Something big must have happened on SmackDown. No, it was just a load of people being like, oh, are you okay from that attack? Oh my god, you were on SmackDown, etc.
Well, yeah, mate, in all really fairness, great. You are white and you have a beard. And you have a bald head.
A bald head, yeah.
So
therefore, that's
it's
me.
Clearly you.
Obviously.
That's how yeah. it all works.
He's got an Elias shirt on.
What a mark.
Yeah. So, yeah, Rowan picks up the guy and power, like a throwing power bomb over the barricade.
So good.
Into Roman and all these officials.
Bumped like a champ, this lad as well.
It was, and like that happened. And I was like, that's so cool. And I watched it 3 times
yeah.
in sequence.
And that wasn't the end of it either.
No,
that
no.
wasn't. And then they carried on brawling up the ramp. Roman's always getting back up to try and deliver that ooh-ah Superman punch. And it just can't quite get it. And then they brawl up onto the ramp. And then Eric Rowan grabs a camera jib. And he just launches this thing into Roman Reigns and some security guards. Everyone goes flying. And then Rowan's there standing tall. Rah, the big monster.
I loved it,
mate.
Yeah, really loved it. There was also this running crossbody on everyone. Like, I think we're all over. Let's push him because he's tall. But Rowan is tall. He can reach that jib. He can he can throw someone over a barricade quite easily because he's tall. He can crossbody 20 people because his torso is that long.
Yeah.
I just thought Rowan looked really... And that's 2 weeks in a row where Rowan has been really, really good.
I would say, though, if I was to give a bit of feedback to WWE... And, I mean, we know they watch the show.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Always
where they get their best ideas from.
Always watching this show. Don't have him cut long promos.
No.
Good promo last week, but you can't do that every week. Keep him to his strength, which is being tall and destroying people and... power bombing smaller dudes into other large dudes.
Mm.
That's Rowan's strength. Let's keep on that train track.
Yeah, he got the what treatment. He just didn't sound as good as last week. No. It wasn't a bad promo, but it just wasn't as good.
Yeah.
After all of this, I think it goes to an ad break. It cuts back, and the camera's on Rowan backstage. He's just pacing back and forth, going Roman, Roman, Roman. And I'm actually very excited to see them at Clash of Champions now.
I have a question though. And perhaps I've missed this and it has been answered. Why did Rowan attack Roman?
Oh, because he wanted to show that he isn't just a follower.
But why wouldn't you just attack Brian then?
Because you want to go for the biggest dog in the yard. You see, the yard is such a valuable space
mm-hmm.
that you don't want to attack someone who doesn't own the yard.
Okay, you want to attack the actual owner of said yard.
Commonly known as the biggest dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair enough. That's a better, explanation than I've had thus far. So, credit to
you. Fun, don't you?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Let's get on with our Patreon shout-outs as well for everyone who's donated $25 a month or more.
Absolutely. And you will be getting our review of Unforgiven 2006 probably next week.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I mean, next week. That's the one that won the Patreon poll. It'd be all in by 1%. So it's going to be Unforgiven 2006 featuring that classic... three on two handicap match between DX, the McMahons, and Big Show, and a barn burner between Kane and Umaga, and Randy versus Carlito.
I hate democracy. Yeah. I'm over it now.
The Highlanders are on the pay-per-view as well. But anyway, and also, just to further plugs for Patreon stuff, we're going to, the Ramble Club will once again be Ramble Club After Dark, where we're going to be having some drinks, but also talking about some of the exploits that I happened to find myself in while in Amsterdam that we cannot talk about on a PG show.
But if you donate $25 a month or more, you get a shout out on this very show. So thank you, the outlaw, Andrew Harris.
Nice. Little drummer boy, Scott Drummond.
Thank you.
Oh, Cheetos, here we go again. Carl Johnson.
Awesome. A master of the Mayor lock, Joe Mayer.
Oh, yes.
Knock it in.
Float like a butterfly, Samet Ali!
Yay! We met him.
Let's have a drink, Christopher Travis Merriman!
Whoa.
Let's all have a drink.
Boom, boom, cult sample.
Nice. Duncan, just Duncan.
Yeah, he's just a simple man.
Butter me up, Soren Nord.
Why don't you build me?
Sorry. I lost my computer for a second there.
Robert Spencer! Period.
Yeah,
it's a very specific TNA reference.
Ryan, be bad.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's bad.
Why do I always get this one? Shower lurker, Jacob Bates.
It's not weird.
It's not weird. It's like a reference.
King George Phillips.
George. Hall of Mania, Patrick Hall.
Yes.
And finally, he who is named Lendell Brenson.
Well, let's see what all of you guys thought of this excellent angle and then, you know, the rest of SmackDown with Chopper Pete.
Right, so first things first.
Oh my god, it's the guy from SmackDown!
I hate you so much. So first things first, Tim Arndt says, after 3 weeks, Rowan finally wore a shirt I liked.
Oh, he's worn shirts that I've liked before. He had a Hatebreed one on a couple of weeks ago, and he's worn Gojira t-shirts as well.
I've never recognised a single band he's had on his shirt.
Yeah. But more Faith No More t-shirts, that's what I'd like to see. Tool t-shirts, they've just released a new album.
Jobber JJ, Ollie Davis' number one fan, says, Pete, I see you've recovered from the attack.
I think when
theme.
Pete sat down, he went, oh, we've already had 20 super chats. I think I know what a lot of those are going to be.
It's the only one I've seen so far. But Danny W says, I'm kind of into Rowan. His theme is awesome, IMO.
Yeah.
Theme's awesome. I thought it was a bit generic. Didn't really do a lot
for
me.
Is that his old theme? That's a new theme.
His old movie was that plinky plonky blum 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 blum. The sheep herder one, yeah.
Yeah, whoever, because CFO Money have parted ways with WWE, who are behind Nakamura's theme, Bobby Roode's theme,
Balor's
theme. Yeah, it doesn't feel as, the stuff recently hasn't been great.
Yeah, unless you are getting your song done by Code Orange, it just appears that you're not getting great themes anymore.
King Man says, Rowan never took the fall in him and Brian matches. Was this the plan all along? Is this why he was protected?
Yeah, he's the tall one. You've got to protect the tall one. It's the same way Roman never took the pin in any of the Shield matches. God protect the big one.
Yeah, they've been building up Rowan and the Claw from the start of the Brian-Rowan partnership. Yeah.
That's all the ones about Eric Rowan so far, but we'll do one about the Fiend, because that's kind of relevant. Jobber JJ comes in again to say, hashtag push B-team, great selling by both. Fiend, eyes emoji, awesome.
Yes, if you haven't seen it, after SmackDown, because we couldn't talk about it really on this show or the review later, there was a dark match after SmackDown where the Fiend had a two-on-one handicap match, or a one-on-two handicap match, I should say, with the B-team. And, yeah, it's a three-minute entrance, a one-minute match.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
It's great. And there was some top-class selling from old Curtis and Bo. It was pretty special.
And then last one for now before we get into the main review of the show. We'll just pick a random miscellaneous one that says from that one guy, which match would you guys rather see? Daniel Bryan versus Bret Hart in his prime or AJ Styles versus Shawn Michaels in his prime?
Now, it's funny, when we did the Swamp Nation meetup, someone said if you could pick a wrestler from the past in their prime and have them wrestle. And my answer was Bryan versus Bret. So I think I'm going to go with Bryan Bret.
I think I'll go Bryan Bret too.
Yeah.
Although Angle Bret would have probably been.
Because bearing in mind as well, Shawn Michaels in his prime was a total knob.
It depends
when
you
say. And he never
say,
would have lost.
Michael's prime to me is 2006, 7, 8, you know, those last years.
DX era.
The full review of SmackDown, speaking of Shawn Michaels around that time, his storied rival The Undertaker, he was here, just like Stone Cold Steve Austin on Raw the previous night, to open Madison Square Garden.
And when he opened the show, I thought to myself, well, The Fiend's not attacking then.
No, no, but I got the same. I was like, okay, so he's going to do the nostalgia bit here, and then later on in the show, he'll come back out with beers. When Chad Gable wins,
it goes bong.
Yeah, and then Take all come out and celebrate with them all, talk about that time him and Gerald Briscoe got arrested on a plane above South Africa. Is that how that went? But no, that didn't happen.
Now, Undertaker came out and talked about souls and how he loves... Because I don't know if you've noticed this from the last couple of nights, but WWE and Vince McMahon loves Madison Square Garden. And he just wants his wrestlers to sit around and talk about how awesome and special this building is to this one company. And you should only associate this building with one company in the world.
Well, you know, I don't know if you've ever done it, where, say, a lady has been very much into you and you don't really care because they're there. They're always going to be there, right? They haven't got anyone else to see. So you're just like, yeah, we'll come and do a house show with you soon. You know, nothing big.
Yeah.
And then, like...
forever doing house shows with my ex-girlfriend.
Then someone else starts to show interest in her. She goes on a few dates. You're like, whoa. What the hell?
I said I would do a house show with you at some point.
You want a TV taping? All right then. Okay. And then you overcompensate. And that's classic Vince.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't care about things until they tell him to F off.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I must have you. not just house shows.
So Undertaker was there to say that souls and legends and blah, 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 blah.
It was bad. Like Taker's performance was fine, but this... to me, is Insta-Taker.
Yeah.
This was more, he said souls, and he said a few nice, creepy lines like that, and I'm not a big fan of that verbiage anyway, but he said he wants to absorb the moment.
I want to absorb the moment, guys.
That's like Undertaker and Michelle McCool on Instagram, where it's Mark Calloway.
Have you got a good filter on the photo?
He said, now we usher in a new era of superstar.
Blah.
What the hell? It's like they said...
It's that Austin gear change.
Yeah, it's like, go out there, speak naturally, but also say these words.
Yeah,
and it just doesn't
this
work.
You need to say this line because that's your cue for the next bit, or it's our cue for the next bit. Yeah, he says, there's a new era of superstar, and Sami Zayn comes out, and I'm like, okay, well, we all know where this is going then, because this is every Undertaker appearance we've had since the Raw after Mania, where he comes out, talks about souls, and then chokeslams someone, and then we're off. And that's what he did. He came out, and he chokeslammed Sami Zayn, and then he left, and that was that.
Yeah, Sami Zayn was excellent, but this was... you know, it was a thing.
It was 14 minutes.
Was it 14 minutes? Mm. I guess 5 minutes of Undertaker entrance at least. Look, the live crowd got to see an Undertaker entrance.
Yep, that's what it was there for.
And you got to say, put the Undertaker's name on the TV guide. But I thought this was going to contribute to something. I'm just sick and done with WWE bringing back legends for nothing and at worst negatively impacting talent that's there every week.
And this is the Austin discussion we were having yesterday, where like if Austin becomes a regularly recurring character, which I think he should because he is the most over thing in the company, then he can pass off and give some of that rub to younger stars and help build some new people. I thought yesterday they were going to do something with The Fiend because they've been teasing this whole Seth and Braun thing. They're both in the ring. Austin's there. Just seems to make sense for you to do it there. And you said, quite brilliantly, no, because they're going to do it on SmackDown with The Undertaker. You don't want to do two Fiend attacks in two nights. What we got was no Fiend attacks and no legends really putting over anyone.
Mm.
And then I started to look a bit down on it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's a shame for Sammy, but I'll hold off, and I'm sure they've got something for later. Also, Sammy didn't mention Nakamura in this promo at all.
Well, no, he wasn't there to promote that match. He was just there to be chokeslammed by The Undertaker.
But you'd think Sammy's character right now is...
But that wasn't the point of the segment, was to be part of his character.
Yeah.
It was just there so they needed a heel to be chokeslammed by The Undertaker, and Elias has broken his ankle.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Miz isn't a heel anymore.
Yeah.
You've got to get a Sammy.
I just thought you could still just say, look, Nakamura is the future. You're an old man now. Like that, why not say that? And then like it seemed weird that Zayn wasn't out with Nakamura after
the segment, mate.
So
you've got to sell the chokeslam.
After this, we got Shane McMahon backstage talking to Chad Gable. Shane is back from jury duty.
Yeah.
That's where he's been. I wish it got extended. And he said, and this is legit, Elias had broken his ankle?
Ankle. I believe it's his ankle.
Yeah, which is, you know, happened on either Monday or I don't know when.
Sucks for Elias.
Mm, yeah, don't want to wish injury on anyone.
Absolutely not.
And, you know, that means WWE legit can't do their mouth-watering semi-final of Elias versus Chad.
Thankfully for Elias, he is a character that does not need to wrestle.
No.
So he can still be on TV.
Good point.
And if anything, like Bret Hart, it might even be better that he can't wrestle and he just does everything from a wheelchair.
Yeah, it'd be quite funny as a heel move. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Shane said, I'm going to get a new opponent because you can't just go through to the
you don't main. Get a bye.
No.
Chad was asking for a bye, which we established last week was a heel move when Baron Corbin does it.
Yes. Then Miz took on Andrade.
So I've been thinking about Miz a lot recently. And I was trying to think, because there was a comment that said, why does Luke hate the Miz? And I thought, do I hate the Miz? And then I was thinking about it today, why maybe I'm just sort of past the Miz. And I suddenly worked out what it was. So there was a period of time when D'Lo Brown and Val Venus and that sort of ilk were like, they were the brilliant mid-card of the WWF. And then in 1999 to 2000, you all of a sudden got Jericho, Benoit, Malenko, Guerrero, and you got this whole influx of like new talent coming in. And guys like D'Lo and Val felt like relics of the past. And you're like, I mean, it's only been a couple of years, but these guys are so much better. And I'm way more into the stuff that they're doing that you almost feel a bit passé now. Like The Godfather is another example of that. And I just feel that's what Miz is. So when he's then in a ring against Andrade, I'm like, Andrade should be in the position you're in, Miz. And he should be the one that's getting the push and getting the wins on TV rather than just constantly losing all the time, despite the fact his manager is setting him up for winning by interfering on his behalf thousands of times during any one match. And maybe that's where I've fallen down with Miz.
I think that's a great analogy, actually.
Thank you.
I think it's also that, I mean, the Miz... The crowd are getting into him as a babyface. I think that's a live thing because he's so good at working live crowds.
He's got the T-shirt.
Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily translate to me as a viewer at home. And all the talk of him being an all-timer, a Hall of Famer, if he beats Nakamura, he'll be a 9-time champion. Just like, doesn't mean we don't like The Miz. Mm. It just means, you know... There are other people that we like more?
I think when I look back on The Miz and his entire WWE run, I will say he was there.
Mm.
And at times was overpushed and should never have main evented WrestleMania, let alone win.
Yeah. So this was just a normal match of someone's got a title match this Sunday. Let's make the challenger look strong. So Miz brawled with Andrade outside. He pushed Andrade into Nakamura after they were getting in each other's faces, and then Miz still managed to get the win inside. Nakamura hit the Kinshasa afterwards.
Slightly botched. The
oh, yeah.
What it was supposed to be was a moonsault. When Andrade does his moonsault, then stands up and does another moonsault, Miz was meant to catch him in the Skrull Crusher finale, but they just sort of fell down, and Miz just sort of like forced themselves back up to hit the move.
It's that would have looked great if it worked.
Yeah,
but it didn't.
But it didn't quite work.
It was a botch.
For me, the star of this was Nakamura, who just on the entire time on commentary was speaking in Japanese.
Yeah.
So Byron Saxton would ask him a question. Nakamura would respond in Japanese, and Corey Graves would go, "Brilliant, I really like that. What an excellent point."
Yeah, Nakamura was great, but Corey, to his credit, was very funny.
But for me, it just highlights that you don't need Sami Zayn in order to get Nakamura over. He showed way more personality on commentary on his own than with Sami cutting promos for him.
And if they are an act, why isn't he out there? I guess he's selling
the
taker
thing.
Mate. Yeah, I don't know. So Shane McMahon, this is brilliant, this segment. Shane McMahon is looking for Chad Gable in the babyface locker room. You can tell it's a babyface locker room because there's Matt Hardy talking to Apollo Crews about nothing.
Not being
booked.
They're
just moving their mouths.
What's in catering?
Mm. And Shane walks in and he goes, "Hey guys, I'm looking for Chad Gable."
He's about yay high.
Yeah, Chad just steps in the shop. Like, how big is this room?
It makes me think that he was supposed to have been there the whole time.
Yeah.
And Shane was purposely not noticing him because it just looked really weird when he stepped into shop.
Yeah, so that was silly. And then Matt and Apollo walked off. It was just like needlessly complex for what they had to do.
Well,
it was just
to
get
the
short joke.
Yeah, to make the short joke.
And Shane says, "Well, I found your semi-final opponent for the King of the Ring 2019 tournament, Chad. It's this guy." And I just sat back and I went, "That's amazing." I loved it. I loved the idea. They turned Elias getting a very unfortunate real-life injury into a massive win with Shane putting himself in there. Totally fits his character.
Yep, totally.
Exactly what he did with the Best in the World tournament when he was a babyface last year.
And he even made reference to that, how he's going to be the king in the world or the king of the world.
It is a brilliant heel character thing to do.
Yeah.
And they completely botched it into the center of the earth by the end of the show.
We'll get there. But before we get to that, we've got a match between Mandy Rose and Nikki Cross in an attempt to add a modicum of interest into this title match that's happening on Sunday. Todd is so unenthused about this. He actually got the challengers and champions confused. And
well, he's Sexton. so he can't blame the guy. He's trying to do two things.
Face Effie. Yeah, that's fine. And then Mandy cut this promo. "We're going to win on Sunday because I'm beautiful and Nikki's ugly. Don't believe me. Here's..." And I was like, come on. This is... There is a lot of lazy writing in WWE across the board.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if this is the laziest, but it's among the laziest to try and build some sort of interest in this. Why not just say, "We beat you last week. And we're going to beat you again on Sunday. We're a better team than you are. We have got genuine friendship between us." Try and build something into your character as opposed to, "I am blonde and I am hot. You are not blonde. You are not hot." It's typical Vince McMahon rubbish.
Yeah. It was terrible. It was, you know, bad material, badly delivered.
Crowd don't care.
Alexa Bliss comes out, so she's a babyface.
And she's
right
like,
now.
"Oh, no, you won't say that about my friend."
Yeah, Nikki Cross runs down, and I'm like, you guys, this isn't even the storyline you started off telling. You meant to be manipulating her. Nikki runs down. And, you know, Nikki did the most with what she had. And she looked really cool, sort of beating Mandy up everywhere. But in the end, Sonya went to interfere. Alexa pulled her off the apron. And Sonya had these massive heels on.
Oh, yeah.
It looked really dangerous.
She face planted that apron. Something fierce.
And then Nikki rolled up Mandy for the win. I don't care.
Nope.
And now I don't like things that take me out of your crappy wrestling story and then make me think, oh, you're a crappy company as well because you script these generic Nikki's ugly lines.
Do you know what can save us though?
Heavy Machinery.
Heavy Machinery backstage having some smoothies.
Yep.
Oh, they're wonderful.
Heavy Machinery are great there at catering and just being charismatic.
Yeah.
But before we get to their match, Bayley's backstage with Ember Moon.
Yeah. This is the angle I was hoping for last week. Where was Ember Moon to step up and be like, dude, you're meant to be like a good guy. We're supposed to be friends. Yeah. And what have you done here? And Bayley's like, hey, look, I'm the same person. I did what I did to elevate the SmackDown Women's Division and make this title relevant. And Ember said, no, you did what you did because you've struggled to stay relevant. So that was a great, great rebuttal, really. And they're going to have a match later on.
I'm sure that will be good. Then we got Heavy Machinery versus the Jobbers. I haven't written their names down.
No, I've written Jobbers as well. But I believe they wrestle in the indie scene as the Beaver Boys or nice. Something along those lines. Otis was so great in this. While he was waiting for the tag, he was humping the ropes. So, he was just there.
The horny gremlin.
He was just there, just grabbing it, just going, yeah, yeah, waiting for the tag. And Tucker's also really, really great. The way he carries himself around the ring is like this just big jack dude. Otis gets in, he takes down the sleeves, and he does the caterpillar, and they hit a wicked trash compactor for the win. Thumbs up for this. Loved it.
Love Heavy Machinery. Otis is so charismatic. Like, Tucker is kind of overshadowed. Tucker is so good.
Yeah.
Like, some of the stuff he does in the ring. I remember that one of the pay-per-view matches, Moon sold off the top rope to the outside. He's enormous. But, like, you can't take your eye off Otis. They could both be big stars.
You keep hearing him.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Tucker's doing another spoon. All you can hear is Otis going, oh, yeah! That's right, Tucker, do it!
I really like their finisher as well here.
Trash Compactor, yeah. The pop-up version of it. It's very fun.
We've got Chubba Pete.
As a quick note, apparently one of the Jobbers is the reigning CZW champion.
No way.
Well.
I wouldn't book my champion to lose. then we got Shane and Kevin Owens.
CZW still in business.
Apparently.
Well, you know,
According to Matthew on Twitter, anyway.
The more you know.
Shane McMahon then invites Kevin Owens into his office. Kevin Owens wasn't on last week's show. If you remember, just about 6 weeks ago, he was one of the... No, not even that. Less than 4 weeks ago at SummerSlam, Owens defeated Shane to keep his job and was one of the hottest things in the company.
Yep.
A lot of people said he was the second coming of Stone Cold. But then, since, WWE have booked him into the ground by making him apologize to Shane, by getting fined $100,000 by Shane for caring about a monetary figure like that, for saying how it's going to affect his family. Yeah, and here's Kevin Owens. Care about him, please. I don't.
Yeah, and it's so daft as well because the whole apologizing angle that they did was so Shane would get rid of the $100,000 fine. But apparently that fine is still there because he said, if you become the referee for tonight, then I'll get rid of the fine. So it's inconsistent storytelling. It's told wildly out of order. And it's just, it's so backward that he beat the bad guy and they're still feuding.
Yeah.
But if they're feuding as if Shane won, you were going to carry that on, why didn't Shane just win at SummerSlam?
Well, my problem with this is I think this is a really, really good story. But this is your opening, you know? Kevin Owens is Shane McMahon's crapped upon second, errands boy. Just like we had with Heath Slater last year. Remember that excellent week-long storyline where he had to be a referee and, you know, told that story great. But, so you beat down Kevin Owens for months and months and months and everyone just gets behind him, like Alex Riley and The Miz. They want to see Kevin Owens snap and finally turn on Shane.
See that rage.
Yeah. And then after a couple of months of Kevin Owens being the special guest referee, reluctantly counting those pins for Shane being increasingly more obnoxious, that's when Kevin Owens flips. He turns on Shane, crowd go wild, and that's when you have him as this reborn Kevin Owens, Stone Cold character, and all the anger and pent-up frustration from the previous months now comes out in these shoot-like promos that he was cutting 2 months ago now. But they started with the release of the anger, and now they've gone back to this. So it just completely doesn't work. It's flattened out Kevin Owens. It's ruined him.
Oh, yeah. This isn't great. It really isn't. And it's got to a point now where He's not getting those pops he was 4 weeks ago. He didn't even get an entrance this week.
And he was so over back then. Then we got the excellent Eric Rowan Roman Reigns brawl.
Thumbs up.
Then we got Bayley versus Ember Moon.
Thumbs down.
So the commentators are running through the Clash of Champions card as they do. So the camera's just on them. And then Charlotte's music starts playing. Down, out, down, 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 down. That's how it goes. Do, do.
Hey, man, this is what we're here for. I can do some mediocre impressions. You can do mediocre renditions.
And the camera just pans to the left, and she's sitting there.
I've been here this whole time.
Yeah, it was like the Anchorman. Oh, I've been here practically the entire time you guys have. And then, you know, Bayley comes out. It's a match with Ember Moon. Most of it takes place in the commercial break in one of those shrink screen bits. I was ready for a long, decent match between these two. But Bayley just swiped Moon's legs. Ember missed an eclipse. Bayley hit a belly to Bayley for a very anticlimactic win.
Then Flair got into the ring and then a bit of a stare off, and she motions that she will be a 10-time champion on Sunday.
10. It's just Moon was Bayley's last challenger, I think.
Yeah,
for a pay-per-view. And that feud never properly connected. The match was disappointing. But, like, to beat her so convincingly here, it just... I thought Ember looked really small fry off the back of this.
It really does
not
feel
her fault, the presentation.
Exactly. Well, WWE's mentality, I guess, is that if you are not Ronda Rousey, one of the Horsewomen, or Alexa Bliss, then you may as well not be here.
Yeah.
And even Alexa Bliss at this point feels like she's been wildly forgotten about.
Well, Lacey Evans is also someone they're trying to... Maybe a little bit.
Give it 2 weeks.
After this, we had Kofi Kingston come out to remember the moment that changed his career when he beat Randy Orton all the way round Madison Square Garden and hit a boom drop through the announcer's desk. I remember watching it at the time. Fantastic angle. We all thought Kofi was on the precipice of breaking through to the upper mid main event scene. But then the company decided to listen to Randy Orton and not push him at all. So to have Kofi come out here and say, God, what a time that was, which is essentially, you know, you could look at it that way. I guess that's the power of positivity. But really, it's quite, like, annoying.
Yeah.
I should
have been the start.
Yeah, so, like, I never really connected or understood Kofi's segment here.
What I will say is that it was nice to have a mirror moment of this, because this whole, like, Madison Square Garden moment has been a bit of a backdrop to this last 4 weeks of the feud, so since SummerSlam. So to actually have the finale of that in Madison Square Garden and kind of repeat a spot, I mean, do a lesser version of it, was, you know, it was good. And I really enjoyed that, because Orton comes out and says it's stupid. I liked Orton's line where he said, can you stop talking about the two things you've accomplished in the last decade? Do you know what I've done in the last decade? Won this, and list off his accomplishments. Randy's been really great these last 4 weeks. And they go out and they brawl, and Randy does a big old swear.
What was the swear, do you
remember? BS, I think.
Yeah, I thought that. He said, you know, stop pretending to be something you're not with your fake Jamaican accent, your dreadlocks, all this phony power of positivity. BS S-word. And the whole crowd were like, oh, S-word, sir.
It's serious now. And they had a brawl. Table, I think, broke by accident. They had another table there. Set that up. They did the boom drop through the table. And Kofi stood tall. All thought it was very good. It was just missing one crucial thing, which was the New Day.
Yeah, so we spoke about this last week. We got very excited about this big go-home angle in Madison Square Garden. And they did pretty much what we suggested. And it was very good. I think this was, like you said, it's really nice mirror imagery to have those two angles alongside each other. But I think it would have been a lot better, because the whole thing... And the way this recent feud has been built is Randy keeps coaxing Kofi into traps. You're stupid, Kofi. You keep falling for everything I do. So Kofi, like, Randy's in the crowd cutting this promo. Obviously a trap. So Kofi finally says, no, I'm coming to get you.
And falls for it.
Walks through the crowd. And yeah, Randy's got a chair, starts hitting him with the chair. So I'm like, okay, so you didn't actually have a smart idea there, Kofi. You were just an idiot. How I would have done it is Kofi comes down. It's obviously a trap. The revival jump him, because then you're like, oh, babyface in peril, 3-on-1 disadvantage. But then that's where Big E and Xavier come back. Yeah. And it was Kofi had that scouted all along. He's turned the tables on Randy, and then you still do the boom drop through the table, but you have Kofi celebrating with Xavier and Big E, and that is so much better.
Yeah, because the part of this story, this four-week-long story, is that Revival and Randy Orton, as this threesome unit, took out Xavier Woods and Big E, so they could they systematically took apart the New Day, so that Randy could keep picking apart picking apart Kofi, and it's been a really well-told thing. With the conclusion being that New Day come out and we finally get they're back together as a team, and they thwart these guys. So not only would it have been nice to cap off this four-week storyline, but on Sunday, it's New Day versus Revival for the tag titles. And they've done no build for that. They've done no build for that match whatsoever, because Big E and Xavier are currently, quote-unquote, injured. So you could have had them make a big return, do the big save, and added some real big drama and interest into the match on Sunday. Yeah. As it stands, it is a match on the card that may as well not be there.
And then, you know, after that, you could build to a pretty cool 6-man tag, I think.
Yeah, totally.
Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Ladder match.
Inside Hell in a Cell.
So, after the ladder match inside Hell in a Cell.
While it's on fire.
Yes. So, after this, the main event.
Before they also announced that Roman versus Rowan will be a no DQ match at Clash of Champions, which I'm very pleased about, because we can fall back onto smoke and mirrors and not rely on the old head squeezers.
And hopefully powerbomb some fans into people.
Oh, yeah. Pete, don't go to that arena, mate.
So, what came out in this is the King of the Ring finals are no longer at Clash of Champions.
Oh, yeah.
Like WWE have told us for the last month.
Because it's a joke tournament with a joke prize that they really didn't care about from the get-go.
The final is now going to be on Raw. It was always scheduled to be Clash of Champions on Sunday. And they even, I think that they even tweeted out that it's going to be on Monday, but the article they tweeted still said it was on Sunday. You know, this is a late change. I don't know if it's because the Raw rating was so bad that they thought, oh God, let's have a draw on the Monday episode.
Can I give you a counter argument? I think that Vince McMahon suddenly realized that his final was Baron Corbin versus Chad Gable, and was like, well, we can't put that on pay-per-view. That's going to be on Raw.
Yeah. This was the semi-final for that. It was Chad Gable versus Shane McMahon with Kevin Owens as the special guest referee.
Shane came out with the Best in the World trophy.
Yes, he did.
Put the crown on it as well. Nice touch.
It was good. Chad's entrance was interrupted by Shane as well. All of this up until the moment the bell rang was a really good idea to make obnoxious Shane against Chad. And Chad can beat him, overcome the odds, even with special guest referee Kevin Owens. I know that's backwards as well, but you know, at least you can now, if we're here now in the storyline, Kevin Owens can slowly rise up against Shane again, tell that story. A lot of storytelling potential in the physicality of the match. They failed on every version of it. So what happens is Shane starts the match, he goes right for Chad. Chad reverses it into a Chaos Theory pinning combination. Kevin Owens fast counts. He fast counts, doesn't he? It's not a normal count that he was caught unaware. So Chad wins. Chad's really excited. Let's be honest, that's nothing for Chad.
Nope.
Because it's a very quick victory.
He's the third wheel.
But then you have, okay, so Kevin Owens screwed over Shane right away. Okay, let's see where this goes. But Shane gets out the ring. Oh, it's going to be a 2 out of 3 falls match, which takes me back a couple of months.
Took me back, mate.
And now Kevin Owens is suddenly counting like he wants Shane to win. He's not counting Chad pinfalls.
Checking the shoulders.
And it's just like, well, but you just tried to screw him over in the first fall. So now I don't... Like, what is going on with your character right here?
I don't know. And then he was trying to fast count when Shane was getting pinfalls. And then at the end, when Chad had him in the ankle lock and the grapevine and Shane tapped out, Owens didn't call for the bell. The bell just rang and Owens went,
Yeah.
It just made him look like a complete moron.
And I get the whole idea was to build Chad up as this really great underdog who makes it all the way to the finals. But let's be honest. he's only had one good match.
Yeah.
And that was last week with Elias. No, who was it last week?
Andrade last week, was it?
Oh, I can't remember.
I think it was Andrade last
I know
week.
It was a good match.
Because it was Shelton
though.
Benjamin first, and then it was. I think it was Andrade.
Yeah.
Because yeah, like, Vega was great on the outside selling the loss.
But one great match in a tournament where you have four, a possible four overall, that's not great. Like, Ricochet has way more momentum over on Raw.
Well, that's the problem with picking Chad. And I love Chad Gable. And Chad Gable is a great person to use and do the Cinderella storyline, but there needed to be some modicum of build before you got to that point. You can't start that with the first round of this tournament because no one has bought into Chad for the last 2 years. So then you start to say, like, oh, now you care about this. But like, well, yeah, but there's nine other people in this tournament that are way more over than he is.
Well, I think you could have, if you gave him 10, 15 minutes a match, make these great matches, and he has three really good matches, then he goes to the final, and you tell those stories of the underdog overcoming. But they haven't done that at all. Every time it's been a relatively quick match and a shock roll-up pin.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I love Chad, and somehow you're not making me as into Chad as I should be, even when he's getting a push.
It's not been working.
Plus, at the end of all this, Chad wins. Love the grapevine ankle lock, by the way. Yeah. Please, more of that. And Shane, that's what makes Shane tap for the second fall. You know, Chad just beat Shane two by winning two of two falls.
And he got multiple visual pins throughout the match as well.
That's booking someone to look strong. But you know what? You're not really, are you? Because I'm not thinking about Chad at all. I'm thinking about the post-match that came afterwards, which was Shane losing his rag with Kevin Owens and saying, you're fired. And like, who honestly gives a crap? How many times has Kevin Owens been fired or quit or put his job on the line in just the last year alone?
I did not like this final angle.
It was rubbish.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was, the whole thing. From the overall story of Owens and McMahon to this angle to making Chad look like an absolute afterthought, I thought was just grossly inept.
Yeah, making Chad, your King of the Ring finalist, look like the third wheel. It just makes the whole tournament seem unimportant. It's like, yeah, it's a tournament, but really, your stars are over here. And it feels like they've done that throughout the tournament. Just all the stars have been eliminated from it, and you're now left with Baron Corbin versus Chad Gable. Oops, sorry, can't put that on pay-per-view because there's no stars in there, so we'll just put it on Raw the following night.
And the pay-per-view is this Sunday. Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon is not on this Sunday. But that's not even a match.
But this is what we did at SummerSlam. Do you remember, like, the final build for SummerSlam was the Roman Bryan angle?
But that was a match that we were meant to get an angle to pay off there, and at least that had some intrigue about it back then before, God, everything went even more off the rails. I thought this was crap. The audience obviously thought it was crap. There were AEW chants as the show went off air. This was a terrible episode of SmackDown. The only good thing, and it was, thankfully it was unequivocally good, I thought, was the Rowan Roman stuff.
Completely agree. Yeah, SmackDowner for me.
Yeah, SmackDowner for me as well. The more I'm thinking about it, smack in the face.
Ooh, I'm staying at SmackDowner just for that angle.
The end of the show, Chad, Kevin Owens, and Shane, I thought was just pants. Let's see what you guys thought on the Super Chats.
So we got a couple more about Rowan that came in afterwards. We got two from Fabio Geronimo that says the same thing, so I'm assuming he thought the first one didn't work and sent it again, but both did actually send, saying, I remember an episode of Talking Smack where Rowan confronted, as a psycho, Renee Young, and it was simply awesome. He can definitely talk.
Yeah, he had the Tom Savini sheep mask on.
Mm. Yes, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
Marcus Roman said, Roman's getting a better push than Harper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Harper's getting a push to the unemployment line, which, you know, some might say is better.
It's not even the unemployment line. It's the purgatory.
Yeah, I know, but you can spend that year planning.
Oh, okay.
Planning and formulating your return
to
AEW.
The fiend character.
Jeffrey Moody says, Roman should come out to a new version of the Wyatt theme, Tip Your Waitresses. I feel like those are two separate things.
Yeah, yeah, but that's not the name of the Wyatt family.
No.
I wish it was, though.
It would just... That would link the two gimmicks, and they shouldn't be, so yeah. Probably not.
Speaking of The Fiend, we got one from Tony Pentakainen, who said, as I watched the latest Firefly Funhouse on YouTube, the recommended list is filled with cartoons meant for 5 to 7-year-olds. Just a little bit disturbing.
Yeah, YouTube's good old algorithm.
Oh yeah, never fails.
Yeah.
We've got a few about King of the Ring. Will HM said, hi guys, what'd you make of the Chad Gable storyline and his future following King of the Ring? I feel like he played third wheel this week. Hashtag 3 week push.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was
3 week push.
He was a real third wheel in this whole final angle. I've not really bought into it, but for the points that you made, he's not been really given a chance to point out. I don't think the short gimmick works, and I hope that Corbin wins. I really hope that Gable doesn't win.
I think Gable's going to win, and I think, yeah, in a month's time, he's going to be a joke.
He's already a joke, mate.
Rex Joseph Calmerin says, hopefully WWE will recognize Gable and Corbin as stars due to their King of the Ring performances. Gable with Angle in his corner and King Corbin is gold.
I mean, that's actually a nice thing to add to this. Having Angle in Gable's corner and how Corbin retired him. But I don't think Corbin has been spectacular this tournament. I don't think Gable's been that impressive the way he's been booked.
No, and yet, and it's not Chad's fault. It's the booking around him.
Got a few, quite a few actually about Kevin Owens. Oblivious Kari said, Kevin Owens was the hottest thing for weeks. Sad.
Yep, that three-week push.
Mm-hmm. Aman Saeed said, are you sick of firing angles? It happens too often.
I know.
When was the last time we had a firing
Becky.
Angle?
Becky.
Oh, yeah.
Was that suspension?
Fired? She was suspended.
She was suspended.
I think Ronda was fired.
Was she suspended?
Ronda was she suspended.
They went through a big spat of them, didn't they? It was like every... That's right. Yes, this was earlier this year. They just kept like suspending and firing but adding people to matches.
It went suspensions, gauntlet matches,
yeah.
2 out of 3 falls matches,
yep.
And then big moves to start matches.
That's right. Yeah, that's the trends.
I think the last firing might have been Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. With Shane in his WrestleMania 34 feud, maybe.
That would have been last over a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Though.
Yeah, but that's the last one I can think of. Tim Arndt said, is Owens being fired / rehired an annual event now?
Yeah, to tie it into a pay-per-view. WWE, you're fired.
And apparently, yeah, I think Kevin Owens tweeted out that he's going to go to NXT, which debuts on the USA Network a week tomorrow.
Yeah, well, Chopper Pete has more about that in his news later.
He definitely does.
Completely stole my thunder because the next super chat from Wilson Simon says, Owens tweeted, 14-24-20, N is the letter 14, X is the letter 24, T is the letter 20. What if Owens joins the Undisputed Era?
Oh
no,
my God.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. When you've got hot baby, well, should be hot babyface Owens. Don't join him into a faction where he's going to be playing second fiddle to Cole.
Kevin Owens and Adam Cole are very good friends in real life.
But... Owens going against the Undisputed Era, that I can get on board with.
That's the money.
That's where the money is.
And just to reiterate what Ollie said, there's much more about that in the news later on today, so watch that. Andrew Mendez says, Kevin Owens to AEW confirmed.
He signed a massively long contract, hasn't he? I think he's there for another 10 or so years.
It's like a Scientology contract.
Christopher Beasley said, Owens sues Shane for putting his hands on a ref.
Well, that is a funny point about this, that the original fine came from Kevin Owens attacking special guest referee Elias, I think.
During their SummerSlam match. Yeah.
And now Shane not only beat up Kevin in an official capacity, but then he fired him, and then he essentially just beat up a random person. Not that you can beat up your employees anyway. It doesn't hold up to logic at all. But if WWE's follow-up to this is Kevin Owens files a counter-sue and they do it all legally, and he goes, well, I've trapped you. That stuff that's only interesting to corporate people. And that isn't the audience.
No,
I bet Vince McMahon is going, oh, yeah, this is a good, great storyline. Not to the general public.
No.
Ron Sregen said, KO being inconsistent with his morals is the Fiend toying with his mind.
No.
No.
I agree. We got a few about the Undertaker. Rex Joseph Camarin just says, well, that was a waste of an Undertaker appearance.
They all are at this point.
Oh, yeah.
James Dobb 44 says, Luke, on a scale of 1 to 10, honestly, how much did Ollie building up your hopes for a Taker-Fiend angle on SmackDown anger you?
It didn't anger me, really.
It's my fault.
That's fine, dude. It's fine, because as soon as Undertaker opened the show, I was like, well, the Fiend's not attacking him. That's not happening on this show.
Yeah.
And I got over it quite quickly.
Cody Storing said, Sammy is highly underused. I hope he gets a title.
Yeah. I mean, that could have been a super chat from 3 years ago.
Yeah. It will require a lot of building up.
Got a few about the women's division. Gazatola of Rock and Roller said, prediction, Charlotte wins on Sunday, only because I think WWE want to fast-track her to 16 and then drag out her trying to break her dad's record.
Well, apparently the story is they were trying to get to that number quite quickly, as well as the Money in the Bank stuff was about. But I see Bayley retaining this coming Sunday.
Stevie Ray says, which women's championship match are you more excited for?
Becky Banks.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And miles apart from each other.
I mean, Fire and Desire versus Bliss and Cross.
Oh, well, yeah, of course, there's that as well. That's actually second.
Fergal McClement says, just tuned in at the time Ollie shouted, women are horny again.
I can't think of a better joke to top it.
It's your new business. .com.
I got a whole one about heavy machinery. Marcus Roman says, I never get tired of Otis's caterpillar. I would love to see him pair up with Scotty Too Hotty and do a double worm just for the heck of it.
That's great.
That's a Royal Rumble spot.
Yes, it absolutely is.
And they do it together.
Yeah.
Oh.
Two heels. But if it's the revival, it'd be even better because they'll set up brilliantly. Mm-hmm. They're laying there and they both do the big arms out. That'd be amazing. If it doesn't happen now, that's a terrible Royal Rumble.
That's how you use legends, is to get over new stars. Miscellaneous Super Chats now. Best of AFL said, here, have my money. Who should turn heel or face?
Out of everybody,
Finn and join the OC.
Oh, yeah, that's a good shout. I'll give another one. I think everyone's kind of gone to their right allegiances now.
Oh, Papa Big E.
Yeah, of course. You know what? Bailey turn face.
Best of AFL again says, also love from Australia. You guys have helped so much.
Swaft under.
James Hammett says, first super chat, and this is how I'm going to use it. Burger King, home of the Whopper. Wrestle Talk, home of the Chopper Whopper.
Yeah. We'll put that on the YouTube banner.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Gazatola of Rock and Roller comes back in to say, don't often make the live chat, so just wanted to say how much I enjoy your channels. Any chance of seeing Sussex-based promotion Riptide on Showcase?
Mm. Ooh, you know what? That would be a really cool one, because Riptide, have you seen their camera work?
Yes.
It filmed really, really well.
It's actually had one of my favourite matches of this year. Like in my top 10 match this year, which was Pac versus Cara Noir.
Love Cara Noir.
And it really is helped by the way the Riptide is filmed, because Cara Noir is such a cinematic character with such a cinematic entrance. And the match with Pac is absolutely amazing. Yeah, Riptide would be great.
James Double 44 again said, it's my 44th birthday today. Feeling old. Not too old to appreciate all your work, though, guys. Still love wrestling, and you guys are fantastic.
Oh, thank you
so
much.
Happy 44th New Year.
Happy birthday to you.
The Adnap 2 said, who wins? People's Elbow or Judas Elbow?
Well, the Judas Elbow is the most devastating move.
No one's kicked out of it. Yeah, so it's got to be the Judas effect, I guess.
Hashtag Mr. Fret said, happy Rusev Day, Chopper. Thanks. King Rasta said, did you guys see Charlotte's impersonation of Ty Dillinger's Perfect 10?
10. That was my first thought when she did it. And thankfully, the commentators were like, oh, she might be a 10-time world women's champion. Yeah, it's not Ty.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be so weird if Charlotte was trying to start beef with Ty Dillinger, Sean Spears.
Oh, Peyton Royce.
Where's she? Oh, no, she was on a main event, I believe.
Ryan F. says, I got to see Slipknot last Saturday. Ooh. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Hey, Pete, happy bar mitzvah. Shalom. Thanks.
I had a great weekend. I was in Amsterdam. I had a wonderful time.
Slipknot, eh?
Yes. I might go see them when they tour next year, tour the UK. I'm actually also tempted by that Green Day, Weezer, Fall Out Boy tour.
Well, I'm only going to see tours now that are promoted by Ric Flair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
System Z said, you're so brave.
We are brave. So brave. We put our opinions out there day after day. Big brave boys.
Big brave boys.
Will Hate said, I just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
Surely you can't be serious.
Thank you. I'm so glad someone picked up on the reference. It's one of my favorite movies. Best of AFL said, here's some more money for the Brave Boys.
Hashtag Brave Boys.
I want to do all my tweets now by spelling out Big Brave Boys, but with lots of spaces in caps.
Nater's WP said, hello, King Chopper Whopper. As a headgear enthusiast, that's what's in my Twitter bio, the crown is obviously at the top of your list. What are some of your what are some other of your favorite types of headgear? Love all of you guys. LTWTB.
Lovely time with the boys.
Lovely time with
Of course it is. Ooh, a little bit of lovely time with the boys.
I mean, beanies, because I'm wearing one. Ben De Silva
Grave.
What
about a less mainstream hat?
Yeah.
Snapbacks.
They're the really rigid ones, right?
But I only wear them backwards, though, because my head's too small to wear them forwards, because they look stupid. So.
Yeah, those ones, because I bought one by accident, and I was just trying to bend it, because that's what I do with baseball caps. I was like, I just want to bend this peak. But it just goes...
Yeah, it's just flat.
And it's really flat, and it just looks mad awkward on my head anyway.
Is that because of Ash from Pokemon?
No.
Does he not wear a cap like
that? I mean, he wears it forwards until he gets serious. And then he has to go... And then he flips it around.
I used to work at Game Station in my university years. I used to wear mine backwards because I was a massive fan of Randall from Clerks. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just want... And I wore my shirt... So Game Station used to have work shirts that I used to wear open over like comic book t-shirts, cool. Like Randall does. And I was like, I'm basically Randall.
Uh-huh. One word for you, Chopper. Three letters. Fez.
Anyway... Ben De Silva Grave said, hi to everyone at WrestleTalk. I am curious on your opinion on something. With the crazy amount of time with all the shows on TV starting soon, how do you think this is going to impact something like WrestleMania weekend?
Ooh. I don't know. Well, you know what? By all accounts, it'll be a little less hectic. Because have you heard the rumor about NXT takeovers being scheduled to go against AEW events?
But they're not competition, though.
No. So maybe that will take the takeover off of Mania Weekend.
I think they'll still do the takeover on Mania Weekend. But also, apparently, the SmackDown shows aren't going to be typical shows. They're going to be like highlight packages and promotional shows.
Mm, that's a shame.
But I don't know. That was a story from quite a while ago now. So I don't really know. I don't think it will change too much. So it's just going to be a busy working week and then just a busy working weekend.
Yeah, I think, if anything, we'll just have another one of those weeks elsewhere in the year. Probably end of August with the All Out shows.
Matthew Burlidge says, Wish.com is sending a physical poster of one of your thumbnails. Backstage heat on Randy Orton. Just search Randy Orton poster on the site.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. We've seen that. Trying to get a t-shirt version.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That'd be very funny. Timothy Beattie says, Kushida on 205. Yes, please. Now Daniel Bryan to 205.
Or Kushida to SmackDown? And Daniel Bryan stay on SmackDown?
Do you know what?
And not so much 205 Live?
I don't mind it, mate. It's not a show I watch, but I don't mind it because there are so many people on 205. Where's Ali? Like, there's so many. You could list off 20 people on SmackDown that aren't getting the TV time they probably should. I don't want to just add Kushida to that list. So probably keeping him away from the main roster is actually a good thing.
I don't know. These are the primes of these guys' careers, and they're just being wasted.
That's very true. Actually. That's actually, oh God, that's a really.
It makes me quite depressed. Yeah.
In which case, just keep him on NXT then.
Azo Smith said, "Who needs to focus in class when I've got you guys?
Are you in school right now? Focus."
When I was at school, if you weren't focusing on the classes because you were like sharing M&Ms with each other,
Tamagotchis.
Oh, we were Digimon kids. You can battle them. And also, we worked out that if you get, you know, like house keys that have got like the ridge at the end, so it's a straight one with a ridge. If you put that and you kind of like move it around to the connector, it makes it think it's battling with someone, so you can actually level up your Digimon without having to battle your friends.
Kevin comes in to say, when do you think the era of Vince rewriting scripts hours before airing will stop? Do you think Fox can intervene if this keeps on going?
Fox probably won't intervene, but they're moving the Raw head writer across, aren't they? They're moving
Ed Koski. Yeah.
So probably when Ed Koski takes over officially.
Stevie Ray again says, keep up the great work, you beautiful nuggets.
Thanks, mate.
Beautiful nugget yourself.
Owen Hart reference.
Rollerball Rocco said, if you please, shout out to my cousin Jesse Scott C for getting us tickets for Clash of Champions. Lovely time with the bubbly. Keep going, boys. Listening live while you're in my pocket at work.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well done, Jesse Scott Lee. Was that
Jesse
name?
Scott C.
Jesse Scott C. Who am I thinking of?
Who's Jason Scott Lee.
Jason Scott Lee.
Jason Scott Lee?
Is that someone?
No, I'm thinking of Jason Lee.
Well, enjoy cock this weekend.
Yeah.
Russell B said, first time donating, long time watcher.
Oh, thank you very much for your support.
Jobber JJ comes in again to say, Russell Talk and Swaff Nation versus WWE Invasion.
I don't know how that would work.
Yeah.
We haven't got any wrestlers.
Heel Dan from Pensacola, Florida said, warmed my soul to see Pete Powerbomb last night. Yeah, classic. Nathan the Alpha Wolfella said, happy National Make Your Bed Day, Chopper Whopper. I did make my bed this morning.
It's
a rarity.
Give you a sense of completion, an early win. And when you get back home at the end of the day, you're like, I did that.
Well, I'm just going to pick up on Pete's comment there, because that makes it sound like you don't make your bed every day.
That's correct. Normally, because Michelle gets out of bed second, so technically it's her job.
What was different about today?
She's not there.
Okay. Checks out.
In fairness, like, my wife usually gets up second as well, so I do kind of expect her to do it. But I make
the bed around her.
I often just do it myself anyway, and I pull up the little fabric thing we got at the end to make it look really nice and neat. Open up the curtains.
Rex Joseph Cameron says,
I'm a good house husband.
Oh my God. What? Rex Joseph Cameron says, title should have been WWE star attacks WrestleTalk star. Demand Will I Am Baker said, first timer, greetings from Germany. I'm also white bearded and bald. Should have been me. Wild laughing emoji. Keep up the good work. KO to NXT confirmed.
It should have been me.
There was someone who said it should have been me on today's show. I'm going to do a quick search right now. Yeah.
Justin Anzal Dewar, while you're looking that up, said, happy Grandparents Day, King Knife Edge Chopper. Well, thanks.
Chop, chop, chop.
I think it was on yesterday. It was on Raw, I think. Mm.
Samad Ali.
Hey.
Float like a butterfly comes in to say, Ollie, can you do the ha-ha John thing in Seth's voice?
John.
John. Minato Dono said, by God, Michael, I love it. We got us a flying Uso.
Hey.
That's a good
your
callback.
Turn. Come on.
Yeah. I love it. We got us a flying Uso.
I love it, Maggle. Yeah, that's same thing. Ben Holland Smith says, making my first super chat for a shout out to my amazing wife and to announce we have broken out in love for our new baby boy.
Hey.
Rowan Bray Harper Holland Smith. Keep up the great work.
Rowan Bray
Harper Holland Smith.
What's Holland?
As in, Holland Smith is his surname. It's double barrel.
Oh,
surname.
Okay.
Yeah.
Harper.
Just really
wait.
Rowan Bray Harper.
Strowman Smith. Well, congratulations on reproducing successfully. I hope you have a healthy human child.
May the Lord open.
Under his eye.
why so serious? 54 comes in to say, wasn't here for the start of the stream, said, which wrestler attacked a fan?
That would have been Rowan, right
big,
there.
Big red.
Mm. We should have put the yellow arrow to him, shouldn't we?
Well, no, I was pointing to the
fan.
No. But WWE star is the active thing in that sentence.
But that's the fan.
Yeah, that's the WWE.
We know who WWE stars are.
Well, we didn't say Rowan, did we?
Yeah. Well.
No. I agree with you. I'm just being facetious.
Thanks, mate. I was a bit worried for a second then.
Mayor of Painesville, Dan.
Hey!
Says, just arrived home safely. All the best. Dan.
Aww. Thanks, Dan. It was lovely hanging out with you yesterday.
Yeah, it
mate.
Was. What a lovely tweet he put up as well.
Yeah. Oh, where is that little... Is the little bit of bubbly over there?
Yeah, put it on the thing over there so you couldn't smash it. Dan will get that.
He actually... he bought us a little bit of the bubbly and loads of German sweets, which we're going to be having during Clash of Champions.
And a 12-pack of Pombez.
Oh, lovely stuff, mate.
Peter Mullen says, is KO McMahon clearly being a throwback to Austin McMahon a symptom of the larger problem of no new creative angles? What can be done?
Yeah, it's definitely a part of it. The McMahons do tend to fall back on storylines they feel successful and most problematically, themselves.
Well, that's what I was going to say. And with Raw doing a very poor rating this week, my worry is, like, us more McMahons is the answer.
We are listening to you. The problem is, it's been good. Like, the last month and a half, two months have been the best WWE program for potentially as long as I've been reviewing these shows.
Yeah.
Like, overall, just as an average bench line. And, those 4 years of preceding terrible booking, those are the effects now.
Yeah.
Like, it's not an easy switch around. You've got to give this quality programming for years before you can get up again.
Juan Martinez says, did you see Kevin Owens' tweet hinting at an NXT return? Yes, mm-hmm. We did. More on the news later. Tomo. Comes in to say, hello, WrestleTalk people. I don't know if this is true. First Super Chat in about 2 to 3 weeks. How's your day going so far?
I don't feel like I've said Tomo as much recently. Hmm. I could have sworn he was on the live streams, though.
He's definitely in all AEW. The live streams.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, he's always here.
But. Well, you know, well, save the money, Tomo. You Super Chat a lot.
But to answer your question, day's been very nice.
Yeah,
we recorded our review of Ad Astra, which will be going up tomorrow on Screenstalker.
Mm-hmm. Andrew Mendez comes in to clarify his Kevin Owens to AEW confirmed thing that he said earlier was meant to be a joke.
Yes.
Yeah, we figured that, yeah.
Yeah. Michael Dominguez said, Laurie said San Antonio. SmackDown Live is an acid trip. Yep.
Laurie said San Antonio.
Maybe it was in the news yesterday.
Possibly. Oh, I think he got the name of a California city wrong or something. Right. He said San Antonio and it was San Jose or
it was actually Washington.
Something.
Yeah.
Brock Batty said, The Brock wants The Fiend to start killing audience members too. Detrain 24 said, it's been a bad month. Lost my job. My brother is alive, but OD due to addiction. I wish y'all knew how important your work is to stay sane. Thanks.
I hope everything's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the best to you and your family. And I'm glad that we can help out in any way we can.
Yeah, we are the most
With our
thing.
Silly little nonsense.
Ronce Regen said, does Gable have top tier potential? I think so.
Too short.
Luke is joking. We do, but he'll never get that in WWE.
No,
which is ludicrous because they had Kurt Angle and look what a star they made out of him.
Brock Batty says, "My king," talking about me. I challenge you to a battle on Pokemon Showdown to become the king of WrestleTalk.
What's a Pokemon Showdown?
It's a program where you have simulated Pokemon battles.
Isn't that every Pokemon game ever?
Yes, except it's free and on the internet. So it's a battle simulator.
Do you get to bring your own monsters?
Yeah. Fully customize your team.
Ooh. So. Well, can't you just max everything out?
Yes.
Have you maxed yours out yet?
But you don't collect them or anything. It's just for battles. It's a battle simulator.
But you said you can max them out. So have you maxed yours out?
Yes, that's what you do for competitive battles.
I think you just
battles.
Like enter the... Oh, right, so it's just purely based on the strategy.
Yeah, it's just competitive battling and strategy.
So it's more of a...
I use the competitive battle
round.
A lot.
So when I say maxing up, like it's not a help, like leveling up sort of thing?
No.
Oh, right. All the Pokemon
on there are level 100, and then you have other... I'm not going to get into this.
But will you accept the challenge?
I mean, I haven't played competitive Pokemon in... quite some time.
I'm out of the game now. Genuinely. It's taken up too much of my life.
Although, technically you are, because you're battling simulators and whatnot and robots and that, so it's basically the same thing about battling a human.
BallerKid34 said, was at MSG, The Fiend in person was amazing.
I bet it was.
I always thought, that's one of the, a Cara Noir entrance. And Bray Wyatt entrance now. Those are the two.
Okay, here's my big, bold prediction. Come post-WrestleMania next year, Raw will be in London, and they will tell us that The Fiend will be there in appearance, probably in a dark match. That's what's going to get us to go.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Nikolai Azapali said, the MSG sales were so bad that they had the normal set. Didn't have anything special for MSG.
Yeah, well, I think they've stopped doing that. Well, I mean, they haven't done a TV there for a while, but they want all of their sets to look the same. Like, they don't want buildings to look different. Mm. And which is a real shame as well, because that Madison Square Garden look for WWF shows is quite iconic.
But they redid Madison Square Garden a couple of years, well, like five, a while ago, actually. So you don't get that
the
iconic
entrance, yeah.
Royal Rumble.
Oh, I didn't know they changed it.
Why would you change that?
More seats,
yeah, I suppose. Business.
Cody Storing said, Kevin Owens to NXT for a big pop and getting over.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually quite an interesting way to take a story where you start to blend characters into NXT promotions as well, and Owens can come back feeling a little bit revived. Yeah, I think it's a good idea. That how they got there was crap, but that's a good idea.
King Rasta said, NXT is keeping WWE relevant to a degree.
NXT is? I think WWE are keeping themselves relevant.
Yeah, I'd say so as well.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
James Quinn says, Jason Scott Lee played Bruce Lee. Apparently.
Oh, the Dragon, the biopic they did.
Was that? Sure. Was that advertised on WWE? Is that why I know that?
Yeah, Jason Scott Lee was in Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. God, I've forgotten all about that movie. Yeah. My friend Adam was obsessed with that film because he was obsessed with Bruce Lee. So we used to watch that a lot when we were kids.
Peter Mullins says, happy you saw that Navy Guy Day speech, Ollie. It was a lot of words.
You saw that Navy Guy Day speech. Navy Guy? Can't think of what that would be, but thank you for the well wishes nonetheless.
Robert Alomar said, Adam Mayhem here. Where's the address to send WrestleTalk some free merch?
A lot of people have been doing this recently. We love it. Yeah, we love the merch.
Email me, luke@wrestletalk.com, and I can forward the address on to you.
Someone said, I don't know if I told you this, that they're going to send us a limited edition Fiend box that they got.
No, don't send us that.
I said, look, you should keep that.
Yeah.
But if you do want to send it to us, here's the address.
Oh.
I have not wanted to buy anything on WWE shop besides the odd t-shirt here and there forever. But that came up and I was gutted when it sold out. Some things, and I don't get it as much these days, but take my money. That's ingenious merching.
Mike Martin II says, Sammy said it should have been me to take her.
That's it.
There it is.
Well remembered.
Yeah, I thought it was something like that.
Sean Turner says, can I get Luke Undertaker impression talking about souls? Then Ollie Seth laughing at him, hehehe, souls. Then Luke Undertaker tells him to stop.
Okay, let's try this. Bit of improv.
I need some more souls, Vince.
Well, you wouldn't say souls.
Souls.
Stop that now. Just souls. Want my souls, Vince. Souls. I need my souls, Vince.
Undertaker, you're off. I'm going to tweet about it.
Stop tweeting about it. I need my souls. John. Just one more soul, Vince.
John. Alex Jordan says, Matt, I missed 3 super chats in a row. Didn't know how vital this was for me on Mondays and Tuesdays. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Good to see you here now.
Good to see you.
Chris Dudley says, love each of you. Ollie, I've been watching this channel since March 2016. If that date sounds familiar, you took over this channel only 3 months before. Thanks for all your hard work.
Thank you. That's also 3 days before my then 28th birthday, I think. Yeah. For the people who are saying, oh, I love Tuesdays and Wednesdays for the Raw and SmackDown, and maybe you don't watch NXT because it's Mark's show, but it's going to get popular soon.
I know, right?
So, yeah. 3 p.m. tomorrow on Thursdays, NXT time with
Indeed.
Luke and Laurie.
And on Friday, we're going to be doing a 3 p.m. live stream there as well because myself, Pete and Laurie are going to be doing our Clash of Champions predictions.
It is like a proper radio show.
Exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah.
On 3 p.m. every day, 3 p.m. our time. Don't know what it is, yours.
Sean Turner said, guys, Kevin Steen is coming to NXT. What a surprise.
Well, hopefully, not as Steen.
No.
That would be awesome. I mean, it doesn't really change anything.
No, it's just a name.
Peter Mullins clarifies the Navy Guy Day speech thing, but I don't know if it's clarified it very well, because he just says, Navy speech, colon, returning to a bed, full stop, that you made, full stop.
Returning to a bed that you made. So, right, I know, because... there's a famous There's a famous, just a military guy, must be a Navy guy, who said one of the best things you can do is make your bed in the morning. And that's, you know, one of the drills that army people have. So when you get back, you do feel like you've accomplished something. So I assume that is the very obscure productivity reference he is making. I'm hoping I'm popping them at home right now.
That sounds about right. Yeah. And then finally...
I would never have got that from your original super chat, though.
And then finally, just thank you to Gordon Maston, who super chatted but with no message.
Thank you very, very much. When are you going to get to catch up on Bake Off?
So we're halfway through.
Oh, did you watch the first half of it?
Bashed down a bit last night.
Yeah.
Going to finish the rest tonight, I think. My lady partner's doing a British Sign Language exam.
Oh, the best of luck.
Yeah.
When is the? Is it tonight?
Yeah, it's like at 8:30 or something.
Oh, what?
So she'll get back around 9:30 and we'll watch the rest.
Yeah.
But yeah. The last week of my life has been... She's been not refusing to talk to me, but it helps her if she can try and talk in sign language to me.
Mm.
So she's just doing it all the time. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. If it's not toilet or no or yes, I'm lost. Or weirdly, gold. This is not very good for an audio medium. But gold has a really fun British Sign Language sign.
It's very...
It's jazzy,
it's
right?
It's jazzy. Yeah, it's razzmatazz is what it is.
I don't know if you can... There is an audio component to it. I'm knocking my fists together
and then doing
I'm
jazz
opening
hands
at the end.
Yeah.
It's gold.
It's very... Ta-da!
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I like that one a lot.
Do you want me to spell your name in sign language?
Go
I've
for
pretty
it,
much
mate.
Learnt the
There's
alphabet.
A great audio content.
Oh, yeah.
L. Yep, you. K.
You actually spell K. I might be doing it the wrong way around.
E.
So all the vowels are your five fingers.
That makes sense.
So A is on the thumb, mm-hmm. U is on the little finger, on the pinky. You can work out the placement of the others.
Yeah.
Nightmare for a dyslexic person. It is.
Yeah.
Legit.
I imagine it absolutely is. But anyway, best of luck to your lady partner in her exam tonight. I'm hoping to watch it when we get back. We've got a meal date night tonight with my sister-in-law and her boyfriend.
Mickey
love. So very excited to hang out with the three of them.
The Peru, have you got a gang name? Because you all went to Peru together.
We did, but I mean, our chat that we got on...
A bit sick of them? Have you seen them since? Is this just like...
Oh, yeah, no, I've seen... Particularly my sister-in-law, I've seen her. And actually, I've seen them quite a lot. But I like hanging out with them, and I think they're a lot of fun. Particularly Mickey Love. What a nice lad.
Like that time you went to that strip joint in Peru.
No, we nearly accidentally went to one, and then we didn't.
But it's got nothing on the jogging show you and Kate were... Oh, my God. On it before we started this recording. Christ alive. I didn't know you could do that with the female body.
So, to clarify, no stories have been shared yet. But they will be shared on Ramble Club after dark.
That many Scotch eggs?
Stunk the room out.
God, you would have... You know, Tesco's would have been just completely wiped out. For Scotch eggs.
Brexit's coming. You've got to save these things. Anyway. Surely the refrigerator is better, right? Anyway, this comes in from Gareth, who says, "Hi, everyone." Insert Simpsons quote. "I sent in my little rant about Nottingham not being in the north, and I've really enjoyed the debate it has caused between you guys and the Swaff Nation. The reason for my writing is I just wanted to say thank you. These last few weeks have really been the toughest of my life. My granddad passed, but hearing you guys have a mass debate over my little rant has not failed to make me smile every single time. And the Wrestle Rambles allow me a little bit of time away from the big bad world and enjoy myself. Keep up the 5-star. Might be maybe try moving that to the Tokyo Dome. Consistent work. Thank you."
Obviously, sorry for your loss. That sounds to me like an iTunes review. That sounds... Because he said 5-star. I know he put a Tokyo Dome thing in there. Meltzer reference, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, says, I love what you're doing with the iTunes reviews, Ollie.
Yep.
Keep it up. It's helping me through tough times. So, everyone who complains about the iTunes reviews, just remember that, yeah?
Yeah.
By the way, my computer's died, so I can't today do the iTunes reviews.
Well, instead we'll have this email in from Robert, who says, "Hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, King, Chopper, all of the Swaft Nation, the Pod Swafters, and the New World Discorder. It's been a while since I've sent an email, but the latest Pod Poll made me want to write in again. I love me some Great British Bake Off.
Oh, God damn it.
I got hooked on it because it was on Netflix and I was bored one day and I clicked on it and absolutely fell in love with it. I actually have attempted a plated loaf or a plaited loaf, which didn't work out so well. But
oh,
it got
where
me
you fold the dough over each other like you're plaiting hair.
Yeah. But it got me back into baking again. I actually found a way to watch the new episode through nefarious means.
I hope it's NordVPN.
And I love Paul and Mary. Well, Mary's not there anymore. Uh-oh. It's now Prue Leith, who I think is better.
Yeah, she's been recast.
Paul Hollywood is funny in his own way, almost like a softer Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, but he's, you know, sterner. Mm. Like, I think after a while, Ramsay's swearing and blinding becomes white noise.
Yeah.
Paul's got those cool blue eyes that can just pierce right to the heart of your anxiety.
Yeah, Paul's not saying they're going, come on, big boy. Mm. Come on, big boy. Let's make this together. Fresh ingredients. That's what we're doing. It's not nothing like that. It's more just like scrape, scrape, scrape. That's overbaked.
Yeah.
And it hurts so much more.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate it.
Also, very glad, obviously, I've only watched two episodes. No Hollywood handshakes just being handed out, because he was making it rain with those handshakes last season. Yeah. If you showed up, you were getting them.
I wish they did the camera effect, like with a Carter, just before he's gearing up to do the handshake.
Handshaker!
And the camera zooms out massively.
But Robert from the US also has a get better. He says, I was in hospital for 4 days almost 2 months ago with the diagnosis of type 1 diabetes.
Oh, no.
Sorry to hear that. I've never had the symptom before, but I'm thankful for my fiance who told me to go to the doctor. I spent 2 days in cardiac ICU on an insulin drip and then spent 2 days in a regular hospital so they could monitor me. I have to check my blood sugar 4 times a day as well as take 4 shots, and it's just been a big adjustment as well as changing my diet. My doctor said that if I begin to lose weight, it will help the insulin work better, and I am down from 217 pounds, 19.28 stone, or 122.47 kilograms, to where I now weigh 255 pounds, 18.21 stone, or 115.66 kilograms. I've been working out more and more recently, starting wearing a weight vest around the house and getting better exercise in that way. If you have any suggestions for workouts to do, I'd love to take them. Thanks for all the lovely time with the boys, and keep up the consistent work. Thanks, Robert from the US.
That's a good little hack. Essentially, you're just wearing a weighted vest, so wherever you walk, you're exerting more energy. Good way to lose weight and build muscle mass.
Indeed it is.
What else was I going to say? Ah, I had another good point.
Was it a workout routine?
No, it wasn't. I'm sure I've got
something about diabetes.
Yes, so type 1 is the kind that you're sort of born with, isn't it? So, and type 2 is one that you can manage better through lifestyle changes. So it's a real shame.
Yeah.
It's sort of a, you're just going to have to manage that through injections and stuff.
It is, yeah.
But yeah, that always, of course, be better with your health. And sounds like you're right on the way to it.
And we've got a few other...
5x5 is a really good entry-level strength building routine. It's very simple to follow.
We've also got some other get betters from Connor, Brian, and Ewan, but we haven't really got time to get into those. We have got time to do Blake Ham's email. I've just seen the time. We've got to cut this short, I'm afraid. But thank you so, so much for listening. We'll be back with the NXT Ramble. Tomorrow will be myself and Laurie.
Yeah, one of
the taped era.
USA era.
It's the last one before people actually watch the show and listen to the podcast.
God, I'm going to have to watch another wrestling show.
I'm afraid so, mate. Well, no, because you and I are going to be watching AEW, won't we, for our reviews.
Yeah, but I kind of want to watch everything.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm going to have to watch SmackDown on Saturday mornings.
Yeah. We're going to have to find that time.
It's not the worst problem to have.
No.
And there's a problem.
We're not doing a magazine show this week?
Well, I'm not in on Friday because I'm in for Clash of Champions.
That's right. We could do, I suppose. Me and Laurie could do one, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do a magazine show
after
this weekend.
After the live stream of rumours. Not rumours, predictions.
I'd probably want to do it before because I need to edit it. Yeah. But this is a conversation we can have on.
Yes.
Anyway, so we'll be back on the NXT show and we will have a magazine show on Saturday. And there will be those Clash of Champions predictions that Ollie was just talking about then, and the headline review going up on the Monday morning. Thank you so, so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
the bubbly.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.